The all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class has arrived at Mercedes-Benz Oakville. Over 100 C300 and C400 models are incoming or in stock. This incredible new vehicle comes with attractive introductory lease rates and surprisingly low payments. Contact Mercedes-Benz Oakville to arrange your test drive. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.com.
Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are officially into the NHL All-Star break here at Hockey Central. Darren Millard along with Gordy Stellick today and Mark Osborne in the studio. Nick Kyprios and Doug McLean have made their way to St. Catharines for the CHL-NHL Top Prospects game. They will be serving as assistants to Bobby Orr and Don Cherry tonight, and we will chat with the two assistant coaches in a little bit. We also have a great story. Kyle Bond, grandson of Bobby Bond, is going to stop by today. He's a junior at Colgate University. He's a finalist for the Hobie Baker Award, Most Valuable Player, Top Player in NCAA College Hockey. So that's straight ahead. As we go into the All-Star break, you reflect a little bit on where you are as an organization. You also want to get away from the game if you're a part of that organization. But when it comes to Canadian presence in the NHL, you have four teams in postseason positions right now, three that are out. Those in are Montreal, Vancouver, Winnipeg, and Calgary. Edmonton, Ottawa, and Toronto are out. Ottawa tying Toronto last night with 47 points with that regulation win. But it was a very mixed bag of a game if you try to evaluate it from both teams. Neither club played 60 minutes.
Well, if you look from an Ottawa point of view, I mean, you see the positives of, remember earlier on in the year, Eric Carlson, you're wondering when he was going to get his jam back and his mojo and just all that kind of seize the moment as a leader.
What's easier to get back, jam or mojo?
Jam. Mojo's harder, just so you know. Anyway, he got them both back at the same time in his case, fortunately, and you saw that last night. And then you see a guy like Hoffman who, earlier on in the year, you got this guy is a natural goal scorer. So, you know, as far as a young guy that's evolving. So Bobby Ryan as well. So if you're the Ottawa Senators, it's like two ships that are passing a little bit in different directions in the Toronto Maple Leafs, even though they may have the same number of points.
Wow, you have just decided that you're going to talk about the Sens because you're tired of talking about the Maple Leafs.
No, I include Leafs as well. They're the other ship, Ozzy, and okay. I left it to you.
Well, the other ship who at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, their coach just talked about how they've got to come out with a sense of urgency. And so did that happen after the first 20 minutes? We know the answer is definitely not. I think they thought it was a 7:30 game. You know, they're used to that change. And it started at 7. They fell behind by three goals.
You're enjoying that joke, aren't you? Yeah,
no, I am. but anyways, yes, okay, a spirited 40 minutes against a team that played the night before against New York. You glean some positives out of that, and so I applaud the fact is the first time in, 97 games on the road that they were able to get to the 40-shot mark. At the end of the day, it's another loss. It's six in a row, and is this a well-deserved break?
But I'm not being a smart aleck when I say the first 2 minutes. Okay, first 2 minutes, they came out spirited. Phil Kessel had a glorious scoring opportunity, didn't connect, and then bang, Hoffman puts it in the net. And all of a sudden, the other 18 minutes turns Ottawa's way. So you're seeing the difference about an Ottawa team right now that's finding ways to win, right? Your first shot, he just wires it through Pollock's leg, a beauty. And a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs in Kessel, that all of a sudden, that all-important first goal momentum, they're not able to find it right now.
Mike Hoffman has three fewer goals than Phil Kessel.
Yeah, 16 for a fifth-round pick out of the queue. I mean, that's outstanding. I mean, and again, when you talk about, and I think we talked about this, Gordy, off the air about development and some of those players in Binghamton, Luke Richardson, I mean, there's a... Let's face it, this isn't a natural occurrence that ends up happening. That's just one of those fortunate things that you can get a guy mid-round to come in and provide some of that offense. I mean, again, that's back-to-back times in Ottawa with wonderful shots over James Reimer's glove.
It was a poor first period from the Toronto Maple Leafs right to the very end with the last minute goal.
Man.
And so you're down. But during the course of that, Dion Phaneuf does something out of character. After having his character challenged for 2 days, saying the players didn't respect him. He goes out and he didn't pick Tiger Williams or Ty Domi or anybody like that, a heavyweight, Bob Probert, but he still initiated it. Do you think the dressing room gained anything from that?
Well, you know,
or was it the coach's speech in the locker room?
I don't know. The other, as we watch the play here, the other game, of course, on radio, you can't see that. But the other game, he did engage Eric Staal. Like, it was a nice hit on George. It was a nice hit on the younger brother. And then he did engage him, even though Staal then wires the puck at him at the end of the game. And I do find, and I'm not coming to Dion Phaneuf's defense all the time, but he's being singled out as, why is he not doing more of this? He should have engaged Alexander Ovechkin when Ovi knocked him ass over teakettle the other game, right? And he didn't. He had a freebie to go at him. But where's everybody else, too? Like, I mean, shouldn't this be a little bit more contagious, about a little bit more stick your nose in it and whatever it may be? So yesterday he tried to get – maybe did he try to do with Joe Thornton, too? I don't know.
I mean, every player does have a sense of pride. There's no question about that. Dion has been challenged to no end as far as that goes. Him taking on Milan Mihalik yesterday, for the other guys in the room, is that going to garner any respect? If he had gone after a guy like Chris Neal, I think that would have changed things around. I think that would have changed things around for everybody that's questioned. He's been challenged over the course of time, whether it's Steve Downey, whether it's Scott Hartnell, whether it's David Backish last year. I mean, those are the kind of pushbacks that you want to see out of your captain, Dion Phaneuf, certainly.
So that's where the bar is right now. That
I believe.
I thought it was good on Dion to go after Milan Mihalik or anybody, but that's where the bar is. It's that low.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if we can qualify it by saying that that's where the bar is.
Also,
I applaud him that, you know, great hit on Jordan Staal the other night. He had no choice but to take on Eric Staal. I know Kipper mentioned when the puck was shot in the empty net, should he have responded? Should anybody have responded besides a broken stick over the crossbar by Cody Franson? And yet, at least you show that there is something left as far as pride goes, and at least trying to engage in some degree.
Slewfoot, did you guys like it? Did you think it was? Did you think it was as bad as some people made it out to be?
They were engaged, right? And I again, looking at it, Mihalik was getting in his wheelhouse, and he was doing the same thing, and the period could not have started off any worse. So mentally frustrating. I mean, the guy comes out. And I know he gives robotic answers by and large, but he does face the muse. And I know you're supposed to as a captain, but some of the guys there don't. Some of the guys there are Phil Kessel's been kind of a protected guy media-wise about things. And all he has to give is the same robotic answers if he wants to. So in Phaneuf's case, people say, oh, great, he's picking his spots here. He's not taking Chris Neal. He's taking someone that doesn't fight. But at least it was something. Like, at least it was something.
You know what, and we're at the point, at least I was last night, after, you know, the significant week that's been, right, for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the lack of scoring, the lack of pushback, the lack of passion, all sorts of things. Now you get to the point, at least I did yesterday, where I'm almost feeling sorry, if that's possible, because, you know, there's a part of it, I think, when you get engaged in this business, when you look at the players and you say, why aren't they doing something different? It enrages you as a fan, as a former player wearing the blue and white and all that kind of stuff. Then it comes to the point where you go through all your different emotions, and then it's to that you get over the anger and the frustrations, and then you look deep beyond and understand the player has feelings too, you know, which is hard to believe. But at the end of the day, when he lays down on his pillow, I know a lot of people that haven't got an ounce of care in them don't want to hear that. But again, that's the personal end of these guys that I think you really do feel for.
No sweaters tossed on the ice.
Well, wow.
Jeez, you know, the cops were there.
Apparently, would have been a great night to rob a house in Ottawa, because apparently there was a paramilitary unit down there. Like, okay, only with the Toronto Maple Leafs. See, I look at it, they talk about Toronto is such a difficult place to play in. And I view maybe part of it, it's also the easiest place to play in. You get your butt kissed if you do a little bit. And hopefully they'll find out. You were part of there in 93. I mean, the bar was really low and you guys succeeded. But still, that's the way it is there. So all of a sudden, Monday's game, the focus is like three guys threw a sweater on the ice. Okay, I don't applaud that. But This is like burning your flag or something like this. There were 18,000 other fans there that are many of them diehard fans that saw a terrible game and didn't throw a sweater. But we're turning it back to, should the guys have to be subjected to sweaters? And then they can hurt you? Like, what player in the NHL can't, like, look at that sweater. Look at, you know, like my Aunt Peggy, 89, could skate around that. It would take her a bit of time. But, you know, seriously, we've turned this into.
Well, you shouldn't be throwing it on the ice during play.
I don't. Like, okay, they take the lids off the pops, too, because they think we're all idiots are going to throw them on. No, they just want you to consume more pop, right? I mean, you can't be trusted with the little lid for your
thing. I wish that we had playback button from yesterday when we started the show post-game. I mean, he had a you unleashed, and the emotion that you showed was excellent. Now, that could have been your best performance
of. It's because if anybody uses the word rebuild, it bothers me. Because there's no such thing. A rebuild is a cop out, and it buys you five more years. The Calgary Flames, the Winnipeg Jets this year, what Barry Trotz is doing in Washington, other situations, what's going on in Florida, have proven you can call it retool. I get like a lot of like fans will buy into the rebuild again. They'll buy in the rebuild and say, "Can we get Connor McDavid?"
No, a rebuild is tearing it down.
Well, you can't tear it. It's like you've already built the foundation of your house. You get one crack at it. You renovate your house. The bulldozer comes, knocks it down. You start building. Then you don't just go, bring the bulldozer back here, knock it down. You don't.
Well,
you go, another bedroom here. We'll put a sunroom here.
See, let's I talk can't to afford somebody. To rebuild.
No. But you know who did? Nick Kypreos. Can you shed any light on what it's like to rebuild and then change plans halfway through? You just built a house, Kipper.
Hold on. Can I give Ozzy and Gord Stellick some advice on this show?
Yes.
Don't talk over each other.
Okay. Well, sorry, we model it after you and Doug. Sorry.
I'm good.
Okay.
Please do not use the comparison to building a house, okay?
What do you mean?
I just finished the process.
Oh, okay.
And I'm barely hanging on right now.
Okay.
Nick is in St. Catharines for the CHL-NHL Top Prospects game. He will be behind the bench for Team Cherry while Doug McLean serves as the assistant coach for Team Orr. You guys left first thing this morning. What's your role? What do you actually – how much interaction do you get with the guys?
Graves and I just finished talking to the kids for about 15 or 20 minutes, and it's something that we kind of regretted doing last year. And some of the kids said, you know, I didn't get enough of a chance to kind of just sit down and hear, especially Graves. I mean, cares about me, but we just finished 15, 20 minutes with the kids. We skated this morning, nice little warm up for them. Not much more than half an hour, 45 minutes, but they all showered up and we all got in the dressing room together and Graves started telling a few stories. I shared a few memories from 94 and, you know, I think they quite enjoyed it. The one issue, you know, or I shouldn't say issue, the concern for me sometimes is that these kids are so over-programmed that you almost forget to kind of just touch base every once in a while and breathe a little bit. And I think Don and I wanted to give them that, you know, with that 20 minutes, just us in the room.
You know, a great term about being or great observation about being over-programmed, because I was going to ask you, you know, from your day as a junior, and you got a couple of boys that are just a bit younger than these guys, what do you especially notice when you get a chance to strip it right down and just shoot the breeze with them for 10 minutes about kids today playing junior hockey?
You know what, Gord? It's just the basic fundamentals of the game and how much you love it and why you started to play in the first place. And you think about today and the pressure, and, you know, we talked about this with them, is that it just seems today there's so much more pressure since they're 6 and 7 to make every moment, you know, the best. And who's watching and what's your agent going to say after the game, or your parents or your life coach or your nutritionist. It's phenomenal now how these guys, again, have got so much more at stake, or at least they're consciously thinking of how much more is at stake compared to when we played. And we try to remind them why you started playing to begin with. And if you turn the puck over, it's okay. And, you know, if you miss the net, it's not the end of the world. You just come right back. on your next shift and just get the pure passion back into the reason why you're here, opposed to who's watching and what it does for your ranking here. So it doesn't matter what era, you got to remind everybody why you started playing to begin with, and it's all the common denominator.
Kipper, I'm just curious, from a player's perspective, because I remember 2 years ago, before Connor McDavid was drafted into the Ontario Hockey League, we did a little charity thing up in Barrie with Gartz and some of the players. And I was like, wow, this kid at 15 really did impress me. And when you've gone through the list of all the players that are draft eligible and they're there right now, is there anyone that's jumping out at you or that you're really looking forward to observing and watching how they conduct themselves on the ice?
Well, there's Connor McDavid and there's everybody else. So we do know that every once in a while there's a special player, and we often say it's probably every 10 years or so you get that one guy, and for us, we know it's Connor McDavid. The last one was Sidney Crosby. So we just finished watching Connor in his pregame skate or morning skate here. And, I don't know if there was maybe a couple hundred people in the stands, but not much chatter going on, just watching this guy. So while we still know that it's a deep draft, Aussie, this guy is truly a special player. But we're going to see other kids. My team, I don't have Connor McDavid, but we got two of the top scorers in the Ontario Hockey League. So Strome's a guy that doesn't have that explosive power of a Connor McDavid, but a real smart player, a great scorer, probably would remind me more of a Ron Francis than a sure dynamic type of player. And the other one is Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner is not a big guy, but by today's standards and the way you play the game and how you need to skate and excel on your edges and play a 200-foot game and put some back pressure in your game as well, this guy will be as explosive as anyone out there. And a lot of people think that he's got that type of lateral movement that would remind you of a Patrick Kane.
How was the drive with Damian and Doug?
I wanted to push Doug out of the car, and we weren't even past Mississauga.
How did Damian make it back from the Australian Open?
I don't know how I'm going to make it to Columbus, boys, after this game.
I still think you guys have to videotape that thing. Is Mac around there at all?
Yeah, he is.
You want to slide him on the phone?
I don't know if I want him to touch my phone, to be quite honest with you. I'm mad at him.
Yeah, are you really mad at him?
They want you on the phone. No, see, now he's saying, call me.
No.
I can't pass. He's not a passer the phone guy.
Oh, my goodness.
He wants his own phone to be used in this.
Are you guys...
Are you okay to use my phone? Are you okay to use my phone?
This is live radio. Okay. You're listening to Nick Kyprios negotiate with Doug
McClain.
Sounds
like behind war lines or something like that, trying to communicate something. Bud.
Are you okay to talk on Nick's phone?
I'm okay.
Okay. Did you guys have a fight this morning?
No, but I'm just talking to, I was just talking to one of the kids in the process, and Jacob from the St. John T-Dawgs, and Paul Boutelier, former number one pick, who's looked after their defense. We're just having a great chat here in the stands.
Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
Now, Kipper was saying he and Don Cherry spent about 15, 20 minutes, and he said it's something he regretted they didn't do last year. Just, you forget these kids are so overprogrammed that it's kind of nice, and they actually like being able to shoot the breeze with you guys, maybe a little more than you think. And I'm curious if you've done that or plan to do that, and what it is about today's kid that you find quite interesting, having kids a little bit older than that.
Well, you know what? I think what's exciting is that you look at them, and number one thing that jumps out at you is the talent. And the second thing that jumps out is the size of them and how mentally prepared they seem to be. So, but they're still kids. You know, I was talking to Connor McDavid just for a few minutes, and just he's a kid and a quality kid, and it's a break when it's not a media type thing, but just in a dressing room atmosphere, it's they're young kids that are great talent, but they're still kids.
Doug, I'm really more curious as to, I think this is year number three for you and Nick doing this, and you've coached, you've managed, and Nick has done neither. So what is it that you're telling him about a little bit of advice behind the bench, or is he just simply smiling and nodding like he usually does?
I coach, and he's a figurehead. Is basically the difference. You know, I get involved in the game and I can talk about the game to the kids, and he's just, you know, he forgets he's with unbelievable talent, and he keeps telling them to dump the puck in, you know.
we're going to have you guys mic'd up tonight.
I say, look, this is the age of analytics. It's all about puck possession. So, you know, I stress the analytics side of it, whereas Kip is still into that dump and chase game.
We are going to have you guys mic'd up tonight, so we'll get an example during the broadcast of just how much interaction you do have with the players. But during the game, how much coaching does take place?
You know what? There's a lot. And listen, like Marty Williamson will sort of handle a coach. He's running them through the drills and his staff. And, you know, Bobby and I stand there and just sort of, you know, point out some things and talk to the kids about the odd thing. But, you know what? It's amazing how you start off and you say, okay, I'm just going to watch and be, you know, sort of mention the odd thing to coaches. And then all of a sudden, you get into the game. You know, you get really into the game competitively. And then you start saying, you know, you're talking about dumps, when to dump, turnovers, and all the basic things you typically talk about in the game. So it's bizarre how you get into it. And then all of a sudden, you want to win, you know. So it's what I love about it. It's an unbelievably competitive atmosphere. The kids take it so serious. It's a big event for them. It's a big game for them. Even at fitness testing yesterday, the kids were going hard and upset about having a bad time in an event, you know. So they take it serious, and it's a really good, serious. I mean, Nick and I have a little bit of fun, but it's a serious event. And when you're on the bench, you got to be serious.
I wonder, last couple of years, is there a guy or two, I mean, not the obvious number one overalls or that kind of thing, that really caught your eye, whether he's in the NHL or not, but you kind of walked away and said, wow, I really didn't know much about that guy, but he garnered a lot more appreciation on the basis of seeing him in the game.
Well, a few kids last year, Ekblad really jumped out on me as the maturity on the bench. It really, really, I didn't know the kid at all. I hadn't watched him live, but on the bench, Virtanen was a really solid kid. Dreisaitl really jumped out at me. Mason McDonald, the goalie, I watched him because he was a Charlottetown, played for Charlottetown and a Halifax kid, so a little more special attention to him. So, you know, some kids, but they jump out at you, the maturity of the way they handle it. You know, Hosang last year, his talent level jumped out, you know, and you hear, you know, some story. But, you know, all the kids are pretty impressive. They really are.
They do have an official CHL photographer that is around the game and taking the pictures to put into programs and like. So what you should do is arrange for him to get that picture of you and Bobby and Connor on the bench early, so they don't think that you're just stalking them on the bench.
Well, as somebody said about the pitchers getting in the team, I said, you know what? When I sold my house, my den went with it. I don't need more pitchers for the storage room, as you're well aware.
Half of them are in my garage.
I've got enough of them.
hey, Doug, go ahead.
Here's a question. Last night, it was interesting because, Ozzy, you took kind of issue with, not issue, but just, Doug, you said it's of paramount importance for the Ottawa Senators to finish ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs, even if they don't make the playoffs. But even if they don't make the playoffs, isn't it still better to get a draft pick, a slot or two higher up, if you can?
Yeah, there's a major difference between the picking 15 and 16.
It can be. It's a Tarasenko and those kind of guys right around there.
But let me tell you something. When you're in the trenches and you know how it's like us in Minnesota, okay? We came in the league at the same time. If the first year we finished ahead of Minnesota, it was a big deal with our owners. And whether you guys get it or not, the owners really, really get excited about stuff. And I'm going to give you a little tip. Eugene Melnyk wants to finish ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, so it's a one side. The Leafs don't really care.
If Eugene Melnyk's happy, okay, then you'll take the one pick lower.
Okay, that's just curious.
And
okay,
take your chance, because it's always better to get the one pick lower if you keep your job instead of losing your job. You know what I mean?
Well, don't take me out to the woodshed here, okay? I just want to, that makes sense. If Eugene Melnyk wants to finish,
hey, Darren, they're just putting some things on the seats, mitts. They're putting little mitts with the prospects game on. Do you want us to steal you a couple of them?
Yes, two pairs. Two pairs, please.
two pairs for the kids.
I'm still ticked off that nobody brought me back a seat cushion from the Winter Classic this year. I had them all up until this year.
Can we have a couple more pairs of those mitts for our radio guy in Toronto?
Our radio guy. Wow. Our radio guy in Toronto.
You guys are a real personality on the show.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks, Doug. We will see you tomorrow in Columbus. All right. There's Doug McLean and Nick Kyprios, assistant coaches tonight in the CHL NHL Top Prospects game on Sportsnet. Jeff Merrick, Damian Cox, John Shannon all around there as well, serving as part of our broadcast this evening. RJ Broadhead calling the game. Sam Cosentino in the booth with him. It's a great game, and they ramp it up, and then we get to kind of have some fun with it at the NHL All-Star game. With the fantasy draft tomorrow night on Sportsnet at 8 o'clock, and then the skills competition Saturday night on CBC, and the game 5 o'clock Eastern on Sunday.
You know, it's first the prospects game. They've really got a good recipe that they've done over the years, and it is a showcase, but an all-star game with a little bit more bite, because they understand it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's a game. It's more of a game than the all-star game. I am surprised, and, you know, having an 11-year-old son for starters, they love that draft. They love that draft on Friday. Like, I know, I think older people think it's gimmicky, but kids love Team Taves and Team Foligno or whatever, you know, whatever it may be. And then the skills competition and all that.
Oh, so they still have the draft.
Yes.
Oh,
still have it.
They're still doing it.
Friday night. It's okay. I'm telling you, like, it's a must watch for a
lot. We haven't had an all-star game in a few years, so you kind of forget.
Yeah,
the lockout Olympics, right?
That's right.
Yes, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet with the draft, and it's Team Taves against Team Foligno. I expect that Dustin Byfuglien will be selected by Jonathan Taves after the way Byfuglien treated Nick Foligno last night on a couple of occasions. Still don't know who's going to be replacing the likes of Evgeny Malkin or Sergei Bobrovsky at the All-Star game. Both players were hurt last night and are not going to participate. But I was lobbying for Michael Hutchinson.
Sure. It should be someone like that. It should be someone that's thrilled. First of all, you got a number of guys. If they've been there before and they've already got plans, you don't want a reluctant guy to go. In all seriousness.
You know, it's the easy choice to pick the young guy.
Who's had a great year.
Yeah.
And deserving, right?
And he would love it, right? I would think.
Yeah.
So who would take Malkin's place? What do I know? Hutchison, I agree with you.
Dan, who was it last? Ellie Friedman wanted Brian Little to honor two Winnipeg Jets.
I would not.
He's also running for premiership.
In Manitoba?
Yes.
Elliot? Okay.
Wow. That
we're going to get him out of province? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's all worth it.
There's cases to be made. I mean, Winnipeg's flying right now. They're
story.
12 games over 500.
I mean, who saw this? I mean, they have to be right up there as we go into the All-Star break. Probably one of the most surprising teams right up there with
Two points behind St. Louis, 2 points behind Chicago.
And you know what? When you lose your 4D like they did for a period, their top 4D, you can make the excuse to shut it down. And that's what the Detroit Red Wings didn't do last year. You didn't hear them talk an injury. A third of their team were injured. And that's sort of the gold bar about why you win and you overcome it. And the Winnipeg Jets, so any other, because it always bothers me when someone from an organization, first off, will throw injuries back at you where everyone suffers them. And Winnipeg didn't care. They just went out and won.
Calgary Falls ending their road trip on a losing note. And you also had the likes of the Pittsburgh Penguins and Chicago Blackhawks playing a great game. Patrick Kane with the shootout winner. Patrick Kane will be one of the assistant captains to Nick Foligno, and Jonathan Taves will be a captain on the other side. So we hope that there'll be some beaking going back and forth.
Well, some beaking, but the other one is for the selection thing on Friday. I remember a couple of years ago when Zdeno Chara made a point of saying, I talked to my Boston teammates and I said, can I pick Pavel Datsyuk first? Because I respect them so much. And they played at the time in opposite conferences. And those are the kind of things I like to see, because that's the ultimate respect. If the players respect you that much. And I thought it was a very classy move. So I want, you know, you want the fun, the banter, the beaking. But I'd like to see one or two of those choices on Friday.
Are they still giving away the car for the being the last pick drafted? Is that still a thing?
Yes.
And they're sitting in chairs?
Yes.
Well, they don't make that. You don't sit there by yourself.
The players are in a back room.
Yeah.
And Pierre Maguire will be back there with them. Catherine Tappan and I will be up front and interviewing the players when they come out, when they're selected. So,
do the final two come out together?
I cannot divulge that yet.
So the guy gets the car, but if he can't drive the car properly, the backup
guy
gets it.
You also have six young stars who will be divided up.
It's like the Amazing Race. You can't give out who ended up winning.
That's one way to call the tomorrow night's show.
The amazing race.
An amazing race. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, though. It'll be sure. I'm with you on that because Drew Doughty is one player who's on record. He's one of the assistant captains saying, I want to draft guys who I know, who are fun in the room and fun to hang out with. And I'm not really looking at it from a win-loss point of view. And other guys, they want to win the game. They want to put the best team out.
Well, when's the last time that we saw an all-star game that merited any type of effort and enthusiasm?
I think it was the Darks against the White at NTR Arena in Newmarket.
What about you saying what team?
Wait a sec. I think there's some enthusiasm in the game. I think it maybe lacks intensity and that, but also there. I like the team world versus North America. Mm. That seemed to work for a little bit. So I think there's enthusiasm.
Well, at least it's better than the Pro Bowl, right? It's better than the Pro Bowl.
I know, but the Pro Bowl gets kick butt ratings. I mean, the NFL right now, they have seen on the NFL Network, you can watch the Senior Bowl workout. Like, it's unbelievable nowadays what you have.
The idea from Friedman was under 27, over 27.
That's another good one. That'd be
because
great.
Because of the mark of unrestricted free agency. So.
And you think about the pride thing on both sides.
But I like the draft. It gives you another night at the All-Star game, another chance to get to know the players. They're all back there mingling. You've got the sound that they can roll in throughout. A bunch of the guys are mic'd up. Kyle Bond hopes to play, I'm sure, in a National Hockey League All-Star game at some point. He's a junior at Colgate University. And he is a finalist for the Hobie Baker Award, and he is from Markham. So we will chat with him in just a moment. A big honor being a finalist for the Hobie Baker Award, plus the Hockey Central 3 Stars. That's coming up on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Get to the Hockey Central 3 Stars in just a moment. Don't press that button playing the music just yet. Brett, Adair Millard here with Gordy Stellick and Mark Osborne. I didn't realize that Gordy actually negotiated a contract with Ozzy when he played, so we'll maybe get to that story in just a little bit. But here's Kyle Bond, and I want to tell you the story about Kyle Bond. Colgate University, he's a junior, played for the Toronto Junior Canadians, and is now a Hobie Baker finalist for top player in NCAA hockey. Kyle, thanks for coming on. Your granddad is Bobby Bond, but you're forging your own reputation here. Congratulations on the season, and just tell us a little bit about your year and how it's gone.
Well, first, thanks for having me on. Yeah, year's been going well. The team's had a few injuries, but personally, it's been going all right. The team's in about third spot right now, so come down the stretch and hoping to do well down the last stretcher.
Yeah, wondering as we talk about the present, but also the past. I know your grandfather quite well. I know your dad was a pretty good hockey player, but I'm curious, your granddad was a pretty good football player as well, a legendary hockey player. As far as when he went to your games as a kid, was he a guy who sat back and watched proudly, or was he a guy unafraid to give you some tips or two?
I mean, at the rink, he was definitely laid back, but I went on quite a few fishing trips with him and spent a bunch of time, and there he was definitely like to give his 2 cents and just give me advice about hockey and how important it is just to have fun and enjoy it more than anything.
Kyle, you know, the obvious advice, I mean, for those of us that did play, and, you know, there are families where there's a lot that's being said. There are those that don't really say anything. My dad didn't really say very much to me on car rides when I was a kid, but, you know, obviously with your iconic grandfather and knowing him, knowing his golf game, does he, you know, when he does watch you, is it just, you know, does he say much to you at all?
I think he tries to stay back. I don't think he likes adding any extra pressure or anything like that, which he really hasn't. I just try to play my own game. He was a defenseman, I'm a forward, so it's a little bit different there. But I mean, he likes the tough hockey, and so always tries to, share that with me. And, yeah, and just, biggest thing was always for him lecturing me was just to have fun.
fishing, golf, and hockey. We're getting into it. this is fun. You're a free agent, obviously. You've gone to which camps did you go to?
So I went to Washington after my first year, and then I was at Boston and Detroit last year.
And do you have a family advisor right now? Not agent.
Yeah, I'm with the Bartlett Group.
Okay.
I got them after my freshman year.
And what are your plans after this year? Have you guys made a decision yet?
I haven't really committed either way yet. We have a really good team. Pretty much everyone was back from last year, and we made a tournament appearance then. So we're hoping we can hopefully get to the Frozen Four, and if not national championship. And that's my goal for this year. My focus has really been on that, and we'll see what happens there. But I definitely want to prove as much as I can at this level before moving on.
How much are you following Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau, and obviously his success coming out of college?
Yeah, I know. He's doing really well. It's really impressive to see how well his game has translated to the next level. It's a little tough following him just as a school and everything, but obviously you do hear about all the hype. And that is reassuring to know that guys from this level are able to get there, just because it isn't the most isn't the most common route coming from Canada.
You know, Kyle, and again, to throw your grandfather in the mix, I know way back when it was 16 NHL, and he took the streetcar with Mike Nicoluk to play in the Marley system and always knew he was going to be groomed to be a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. They take that from Scarborough to wherever they were playing. And in your case, going to the university route, maybe talk about making that decision and a pivotal year or so where all of a sudden you realized, hey, I got a chance here.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit of a late bloomer. So, as I got older, the OHL just sort of became, less realistic, and I thought I would need those extra couple of years down at college, which the college route offers, just to develop my game a little bit more. And, I think it's worked out for the best. Obviously it was, does kind of, suck not being able to play in the OHL just because there is that hype in Toronto, especially, but, I've been grateful for every minute that I've been down here.
Kyle, again, I hate to keep on referring to myself growing up as a kid, but I'm interested as to what your favorite team was growing up, your favorite player, and maybe who you model yourself after or who you look up to. My dad used to always tell me, just try to be like Bob Gainey, be responsible up and down your wing. So I'm kind of curious, you know, with your background, what that is or what that means for you.
I guess with just my Stanley roots, the Leafs have always been my favorite team. Growing up, Hockey Night in Canada was always the biggest thing every Saturday, watching Don Cherry and everything. So the Leafs were definitely always my favorite team. Favorite player, I'd probably have to say Gary Roberts. Always was big when the Leafs were making their runs in the playoffs earlier in the 2000s there. And he's a tough guy to put the puck in the back of the net. I guess nowadays, like to model my game around Wayne Simmonds. I was the Flyers there. Good in front of the net. Strong player, fast.
Some sandpaper, too, there.
Yes.
Hobie Baker, a finalist, is Kyle Bond. When did you find out? How did you find out? And then what's the format for the presentation of the award?
So I guess one of my teammates, actually, who's also up for the award, our goalie, Charlie Finn, he actually noticed it. Didn't even notice himself, and then my parents found out shortly after and gave me a call and stuff. And then, so right now, it's just in the preliminary voting round. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100%, I don't think the votes are what pushes you into the further into the decision to who gets the award, but... as the season goes on here and down the last stretch, I'm sure my play will be heavily watched and will determine if I am still up for the award down at the end of the season here.
Keep it going. Thanks for doing this, and good luck in your quest for a Frozen Four berth.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You bet. Kyle Bond.
I was going to put him on the spot.
Were you?
Well, we don't
want to do that.
I know. I was going to say that if you get a last-minute call and you can be in the CHL prospects game tonight and you get to pick Doug McLean or Nick Kyrgios, who gives you the bigger, better chance of winning?
Probably Doug.
Doug? Okay.
Doug is a coach.
We'll move on. I wouldn't want to put him on
He's
the spot.
He's got Connor McDavid, too.
Yeah, that's
Doug
right.
Is a big thing.
Hockey Central, 3 stars.
Okay.
Michael Hutchinson of the Winnipeg
Surprise.
Jets. Well, we did have the doubleheader last night on Scotiabank Wednesday Night
I know,
Hockey.
We were watching. Ozzie and I were watching.
Why was your producer phoning me to come on the air post-game then when he knew I was on the air?
Because we had eight guys bail out. We were desperate.
Hutchinson he was another guy, Hutchinson. You talk about Hockey Day in Barrie.
Yep.
He's participated a couple of times in that with Mike Gartner and company. And he has he has the ability to find the puck and grab onto it, control rebounds. And another shutout last night, and I'm really hoping that he gets the call for the NHL All-Star Game.
Well, so too. And, boy, when teams can't find goaltending, all of a sudden the guy that does it, I said it second. Marian Hossa will be mine. Chicago Blackhawks, we always talk about excellence, how you put teams together. You get high draft picks like Taves and Kane. You get a lower one like Duncan Keith, who develops in the minors and then comes up and wins a Norris Trophy. And then when you add free agents or some of those trades, you got to get the right kind of mix ingredient there. And, you know, he's really been that kind of guy in Chicago and bought into the culture. A goal and assist last night in their win over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, that's what I was hoping, that you would actually give us the stats, you know, not all that went with why you bring Marian Hossa into your organization.
Well, I don't really care what you're hoping for. I hope I try to please the listeners and viewers, Ozzie. You do what you want.
Okay, I'm going to add insult to injury and pick Erik Karlsson, who ended up with a couple of goals on the affair last night. An easy goal, his first goal in the first period on the 3-on-1. Imagine that, a 3-on-1, and Carlson's up in the rush for the first goal for the Ottawa Senators. And I would have to say this, Darren, that his game winner in the third period, I would like to even care to admit that you would have had this shot right there. I mean, your glove would have been in perfect position. A goal that James Reimer would have liked to have had back, and yet it ended up being the GW.
Now, my buddy Bruce Ferrant played with you in the Unionville League. He said you're pretty good years ago.
Oh, well, thank you. Years ago.
Well, no, he hasn't played with you in years.
Years ago.
He has not played with you in years.
There's always got to be a little caveat, doesn't there?
No. I didn't. That was not a dig. He was very complimentary.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it goes back to the James Reimer and the glove hand. Mm-hmm. It's been a question mark for years. And you got the sense that if he stepped in last night, and he had a great record going into that game
against Ottawa, yeah.
But if he puts up an effort and wins the game, that he might have been able to get some traction out of that and playing a little bit more. And goaltending's been a problem for this team.
Couldn't agree with you.
Timely goaltending. You're right. Mm. Timely goaltending.
How about did not Dion Phaneuf have the puck behind the net there and just decided to, here, you take it. I don't want it. And, you know, down low, I think the Suns won the battle for the pucks a couple of times. So here I'm coming to the aid of a goaltender. Now you're throwing him under the bus. So
no, well, you carved him by saying I could have caught the puck. I'm not sure that was a compliment to James Reimer.
A little bit of both, but I mean, would you have thought on the Hoffman goal? I mean, that was an unbelievable shot, and you're saying, well, he should have had that one. Okay, let's go to Bernier's goals.
I don't think I said that.
Oh, okay,
I just said a couple.
He was
on the glove
side. A screen too. I mean, that was unbelievable.
Well, you said his glove. That's where he put it.
Not saying that that I would have caught it, but maybe knocked it down.
Okay. Johnny Bauer.
Starting to enjoy this a little bit. Darren Millard along with Gordy Stellick and Mark Osborne. The team draft will take place tomorrow night on Sportsnet in Columbus. And then you've got the skills competition on Saturday night. What's your favorite skills event? I don't think it gets any better than the slap shot. That seems to be the one, the hardest shot that the whole crowd traditionally gets into.
Yeah, the three-point shot. No, it's kind of like the slam dunk is the let me get that. Like the slam dunk and three-point shot in basketball, I equate them to the pie shooting thing because it's a good visual.
Targets.
And the targets, yeah. And then the I listen to Grape so much because he always talked about that. He calls them the pie tins, whatever. So I still do. And then you're right, the speed of the slap shot. Everyone loves the sexy number. It's like a lap being timed in a race.
Mike Gartner still has one. I think the second fastest time recorded.
Yeah, who's tops now? Do we know? Do we know who broke that record? But anyways,
I'm afraid he had it forever.
What, the skating one?
Oh
no, he had the shooting one.
Yeah.
They're still putting up those funny outfits when they do the breakaway on the goaltenders,
yep.
Right? And trying to
be
as creative as they can. And then they become creative, and then they say you can't do that in the real game.
It's like the slam dunk. That's like the slam dunk competition.
Who broke the record? Hagelin broke the record. So there you go.
For the what? Skating?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no. The
good for him.
No, the shot.
Congrats.
The shot.
Yeah. What's his name?
Thank goodness we don't have two more minutes of this show.
Matty Hagman?
I'd hate to think where everybody's. We'll be live from Columbus tomorrow, a special 90-minute edition of Hockey Central at noon at the All-Star Game.